Last time I spoke, I talked about email that I get every Tuesday from a doctor that is a professor in the college in Tennessee. And I got those for about almost 3 years, or over two. I have 133 or 134 of those in my computer at work. And they're all on leadership. They're how to motivate people to do things they don't want to do. And that's what leadership is, to try and motivate people to things they want to do, but also motivate people to do things they don't want to do. So out of those 133, 134, I'm not sure exactly the number, I could narrow it down to two that I thought would be good things to bring here. And last time I spoke, I picked one out that was 50 ways to relieve stress. And I went through that. And as part of that, I told everybody last time that there was two that I had to pick from. So I'm going to give the other one this morning, and it's how to live to be 100. And it talks about God's temple, and it talks about your physical body, and it talks about all the parts of your physical body and how to make it to 100. So I'm going to talk about his temple this morning. And I'm going to talk about your body and how to make that work. Some people here know how to do that. Audrey, you can probably close your ears or do whatever you'd like. But you probably know everything I'm going to say this morning. So there's a lot of people here that already know how to do this. But I'm going to give you some points because there's people here that are wondering how individuals live so long. And I'll let you know right off the bat, God's will is a big part of it. And when I read this tip, it doesn't say anything about God deciding how you fit in society and how you do that. A lot of it they look at as luck. A lot of it's luck. But I think God decides how long we live and when our time may be. But if you feel like giving up, think you're too old to try something new, and you need to remember that age has very little to do with your happiness or poor success. If you think about it, I still feel like I'm 18. I think my mind still thinks I'm 18. And everybody here really, really feels that way. I mean, when you retire, I still feel like I can, my mind thinks I can do whatever. So I'm going to give you some examples. Actor George Burns won his first Oscar at age 80. Golda Meir was 71 when she became Prime Minister of Israel. Playwright George Bernard Shaw broke his leg at age 96 when he fell out of a tree he was trimming. Painter Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was 80 years old. She completed more than 1,500 paintings after she was 80, 25% of those after the age of 100. 1,500 paintings. Michelangelo was 71 when he painted the Sistine Chapel. And if you have the opportunity to see that, I can't imagine a 71-year-old painting that. Physician Albert Schweitzer was still performing operations in his African hospital at age 89. Doc Councilman at 58 became the oldest person ever to swim the English Channel at 58. I'm 51. I can't see it. S.I. Hawakaka retired as president of San Francisco State University at age 70. After he retired, he was elected to the U.S. Senate at age 70. You know, I thought the officials we were going to vote on were old. They're not. They're not. They're young. They're going to make it till 100. Casey Stengel didn't retire from manager of the New York Mets until he was 75. As I said, age has very little to do with your success and happiness. Indeed, there are about 75,000 Americans, just in the United States of America, who are 100 years old or older right now, today. 75,000. I heard about a woman this week that was 109 And they were talking about some things that she was accomplishing this week. It was amazing. That's a whole lot more than there ever used to be, and a whole lot fewer than there's going to be. There were about 3,000 centurions in the U.S. in 1950, 37,306 in 1990, and according to the Census Bureau, there will be 1.1 million in the year 2050. Tom Keeser of Albany Times Union says, "Live right and you might be one." And that's true. God gave us a temple. He made us like in His image. He made us in His image. He gave us, and we'll find in Psalms, and I'm going to read the verse that tells us how long that He gave us to live. This research backs up what he says. Even though people tend to think longevity is all about the genes, it's really one quarter about your genes and three quarters lifestyle. And this is quoted from Stephen Osted that wrote Why We Age. That's great news. If you think about it, you control three quarters of your destiny as to how long you live. So what can you do to manage the stress, prevent the burnout, keep your work and life in balance, and live a long, happy life? I'm going to give you seven things. I'm going to give you seven things this morning. And again, I think Audrey does all seven. You know, if you miss any of them, people could probably ask you. Number one thing is exercise your brain. Number one thing is to exercise your brain. I've been to a lot of classes, and the recent class I went to was how do I remember more? And the number one thing in that class was to exercise your brain. And I challenge everybody to do this either today or tomorrow, is to brush your teeth with the other hand. Do things with the other hand, and you will truly challenge your brain. Drive a different way home. Is there anyone here that can't remember getting home? It's happened to me several times. Just all of a sudden you're home, and your mind got you home. You were thinking about so many other things, about work, about other things, and all of a sudden you're home. And I know it's happened to all of everybody probably over 30 in the congregation, that all of a sudden they're home. You drive the same way home every day, and your mind gets used to it. You're home. You're not exercising your brain. The biggest thing that they recommend that does not exercise your brain, and my wife's going to love me for this, is reading books. It does absolutely nothing to exercise your brain. Your brain loves that. It gets used to it, and it loves it. Your brain is not a muscle, but it's the most important part of your body. It controls everything about God's temple that He gave you. Everything. You can live without legs. You can live without arms. You can live without some organs. You can live without half your blood. You can live with all kinds of ailments. Can anybody live without their head? Without their brain. There's no way. It's not possible. You need to keep on learning. Part of exercising your brain is to keep on learning. And I'm failing in that. I need to go back to school, and I need to take classes, and I need to do more learning. But I learn in construction. I try to learn and try to see something every week. You need to learn something new every week, whether it's in the Bible, wherever it may be. You need to learn something every week. You need to solve puzzles. Buy church puzzles. I mean, crossword puzzles, number puzzles. Play chess. Learn to play an instrument. Learn to play an instrument. Learn to paint. Learn to do things with your mind. The number one way to live beyond 100 is to exercise your brain. Number one way. Because once your brain decides it's had enough, it doesn't matter what your state your body is in, you will end up going in that direction. So if you exercise your brain and your brain's happy every day, you're going to live longer. Number two is to stay active. Exercise your brain. I want to go back and I want to read that verse that talks about how long we're going to live. And I read Psalms 90 and 10, and I had a long time trying to search for what God gives us as a promise for our length of life. I've always known that it was 70 years, but I had a hard time finding it because I kept looking up 70. And in Psalms 90:10, it says, "The days of your years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." And I believe in some instances that is true. Your life is cut off. And we know people that their life is just cut off and they had no say. I don't think it's the way they lived. I think those things just happen. And I guess as an officer in the military, I didn't realize that there was a duty that I had to do. And I had to do that duty a couple weeks ago. And we take turns, and it ended up being my turn. There was an individual that was killed, and I had to get in my service dress and go tell the family. And I didn't realize how hard that is to go tell the family that one of their loved ones is now dead. And it was my turn to do that, and I hope I never do that again, ever. Because the look on the parent's face when you see three dressed officers come to your door and they know instantly what you're there for is a hard thing to do. But I understand that life is just taken away. Some of us have no choice. And that's God's will. So part of it is luck. But God tells us that if we do everything right and we take care of the temple that he's given us, this temple should last 70 years. Unless some other means takes it away, it should last 70 years. We have the ability. We have the ability to make it last longer. We talked about in class today about children. And it's very important for children to obey your parents. And you'll have a better life. You'll have a better life. You'll learn how to do and get along with others if you obey your parents. No matter what parents you have. Point number two is to stay active. Get out of that chair and off the couch. Go for a walk. Go to the mall. Work in the garden. Mow your lawn. Start a new career. And in this talk, I'm going to give you different people that have been 100 years old that give their point of view of how they made 100 years. Frank Crane puts it, who's 101, there are three rules for success. The first, go on. Second, go on. Third, go on. And it's just that simple if you want to make it simple. So if you're exercising your brain, you're going to stay active. If you're exercising your brain, you're going to stay active. So those things go together. One thing that I found growing up, and I always watch your parents and you kind of see what they do. And one thing my dad never did is he never slept. He never took a nap. And what I'm saying is laying down on the couch, getting a pillow out, and laying down on the couch. Now, his easy chair, he can sleep places that you would think there's no way people could sleep. Now, but back then as I was growing up, he taught us that when you're not working, you cherish every moment that you're not working and doing something else. So he never wasted his time. He never wasted his time with a nap when he could be doing something else. And I noticed that going up, that he always stayed active and he always had something to do. Keep on doing, if you find something that you like, to keep active, keep doing it. Whether it's dance, sing, laugh, hike, bike. Find something. Find something that you like to do. If it's cooking, there's a cooking class. I mean, cooking is very mind. It's a good thing for the mind, something new. Dr. Sidney Simon put it when he wrote his birthday ramblings poem. He wrote a birthday ramblings poem. In May, I will be 81, and in no way am I done. Daily miles, paradise biking, summer days of mountain hiking. I will keep on teaching and occasionally preaching. Spend some time on the stage acting, still a prodding rage. Review an offbeat play, write it in my unique way. I want to keep on learning, inside me a scholar burning. And certainly about kissing, not one I plan to be missing. I love the hours spent cuddling, talking, truth-telling, not muddling. Well, in May, I turn a ripe old 81, but I won't be done until 181. In other words, he's saying, take charge of your life. He had all seven of these points that I'm going to say. He'll make it to 100. He says, I don't want to be a passenger in my own life. The third thing is, and this is very important, manage your memories. Manage your memories. Some people are haunted by the past, by what they did and didn't do. They're stuck in guilt and regret, and that will kill you. Or at the least, take the joy out of life. Guilt and regret are memories you don't want to keep. Learn instead to manage your memories. As psychologist Laura King advises, being happy isn't about forgetting the past. It's about learning from it and discovering ways to have a better future. Once you've learned from the past, throw out the bad memories and hold on to the good ones. And this is from Ethel Wilson. She's 102, a resident of the Glen and Highland Meadows Assisted Living Facility. She says, once you've learned, throw them away. Keep the good ones, because you're all going to have bad memories. I think the longer we're happy, the longer we'll live. I couldn't be happier. I go to bed every night the same way. I've had a good day. If you dwell on the past and you dwell on bad memories, you won't live to 100. The fourth thing is keep the faith. Very few people live to over 100 without faith, without knowing that there's something after death. Very few people live to 100. I think the percentage was 15%. So it's very important that you have faith that you will be taken care of after you die. Everyone here understands how to get to heaven. We understand what we have to do. We understand God's commandments. We understand that we need to have membership in a church and we need to study to show. And I'd like to read 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We know that faith is so important. God put us here for that, so that we would study and we would show ourselves unto God, that he didn't put us here for nothing. We need to keep the faith. Sing and pray. Pray every day. Thank God for everything that happens to you every day. Keep the good memories. You will have a good memory every day you're here. And the lady I just talked about, one of her best memories was getting out of bed every day. Going and seeing the weather outside, and at the end of the day, she would say a prayer to God, thanking Him for what she got that day. Every day you have good memories. Number five, manage your stress. The reason I gave the stress talk first is because I wanted everybody to understand about stress. No one's going to get out of this life alive, and no one's going to get through this life without some stress. No one's going to get out of this life alive. Every one of us is going to die. Every one of us is going to have stress. It's how we deal with the stress. The secret is knowing how to manage your stress. After all, unmanaged stress can damage your health. Everything from heart to your digestive system will be affected by stress. One proven stress management technique is exercise. Do 30 minutes of aerobic exercise every day, and if you can't do that, do what you can. But start and keep it at it until it becomes a regular part of your day. It goes back to being active. So we're going to talk about a lot of these things dwell with being active. You need to do something active every day, whether it's walking, whether it's riding a bike, whether it's hiking. Whatever you can do, you need to do something every day for 30 minutes. Some type of aerobic exercise. Golf. Golf's an aerobic exercise. You do away with carts. Carts are not good. But walking on the course is an outstanding aerobic exercise. And if I remember right, 18 holes is 4 hours, 5 hours, something like that. So think of the exercise you get playing an 18-hole round of golf. And walking that whole course, a lot of exercise. Point number six, stay positive. The happiest people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything. Their attitude is consistently positive no matter what. Stay positive. One thing that I always say to myself a lot, and I learned this while I was growing up, is if you can't say something good, don't say it at all. One of the things I talked about in controlling stress and to be positive is control your mouth. If you control your mouth, you'll control your brain. Because by controlling your mouth, you're teaching your brain that you need to think positive thoughts. Positive memories, positive thoughts. Stay positive. Cheerful, optimistic people decrease the risk of early death and poor health by 50% compared to pessimistic people, according to researchers at the Mayo Clinic. That's why 101-year-old Mary Horton, a resident of the Beverick Assistant Living Facility, tells people to look on the bright side. Don't complain. Just take life as it comes the best you can. So we need to be happy. Always be happy. Point number seven. Take care of your body. Taking care of your body is so easy today. I don't know if I should say easy, but medically we've come such a long way. If you think about the numbers that I gave you of 1.1 million people over 100 by the year 2050, that's because of medical science. A lot of it becomes possible because of medical science. Every day we seem to get another piece of news about what we should or shouldn't do to stay physically fit. And the news can sometimes be a little confusing, but the research is very clear on a few things. Tom Kaiser, who I'm quoted earlier, summarizes it in this way. Be smart about what you eat. Eat more fruits and vegetables and less red meat and fried foods. And when you're full, stop eating. I'm not sure I agree with the whole part of that, but I do agree with, and when you're full, stop eating. A lot of us were raised to clean our plate, and I have a hard time not doing that. That's just the way that we were brought up. But my kids leave half their plate, and me and Tammy have made it a point to try and let them do that. It still bothers me. It still bothers me when I see a half plate of food there that nobody's going to eat. and they always offer it to me. And that's true, Tammy, correct? They offer it to me, and a lot of times I do that. I say, okay, I'll help. And I shouldn't, because I'm already full. When you're full, stop eating. It'll add years to your life if you can do that. And that's a hard thing for me to do. The next point is the state has really helped us. The next thing is quit smoking. And I really felt like I was a smoker in the buildings I would go in. My clothes would smell like smoke. Secondhand smoke was everywhere. But smoking will take years off your life, even the secondhand smoke. I'm very appreciative of the state making it so there's no secondhand smoke. Very appreciative. So that, again, added people that will make it over 100 years. Because I feel like everywhere I go now, I have clean air. And I know we live in the Midwest, and we live where there's clean air everywhere, and we don't really see the smog, but I feel like I have cleaner air here. The next point is drink in moderation. Studies have shown that a glass of red wine or ale once in a while reduces the risk of cardiovascular disease. Drink in moderation. So we need to be very careful with that. Get or stay thin. Get or stay thin. Audrey, she's little. Carol, he's little. Calories take years off your life. They do. People that are over 100 are very little. They're very small people. They're very thin. Over 80% of the people that make it to 100 are thin. What a statistic. So, calories. Get and stay thin. Researchers have extended the lives of laboratory animals by drastically reducing their caloric intake. If you want to live to be a healthy 100 or more, thinner is better. I don't know what thin is. I don't know what thin is. There's so many statistics on what your best weight is. My best weight right now is to be 162, I think is what the military's tell me. I was 163, 164 when I graduated high school at 18. I'm never going to be there. So I don't know what that means. Find a good doctor. Find a doctor that you like. I don't know what the term good doctor is. If you like the doctor you have, it's a good doctor. But the biggest thing with the doctor is getting someone you trust. So if you have a medical doctor that you don't trust what they're telling you, you need to find a different doctor. But a good way to make it to 100 is finding somebody that can give you checkups and can catch something that's wrong with your body early. Keep track of your medications and take them. Take your medications. If you take your medications, you'd be a better chance of remaining in your own home, taking care of your own self as long as possible. The medications will help you get to where you need to be. So there you have it. Those are the 7 things. 3/4 of your happiness, success, and longevity are in your hands. When you follow these 7 steps, you have a very good chance of a very good life. Those 7 steps, again, are exercise your brain, stay active, manage your memories, keep the faith, manage your stress, stay positive, and take care of your body. With that, I would like to offer the invitation to keep your faith. Give you the opportunity to come forward and to be part of Christ's church, to be part of Christ's body. If you have something that we'd like to take care of and come before the membership that you need to make known to us, to keep on that right path, we give you the opportunity as we stand and sing.